one policeman sitting at the counter munching a donut. "No serious relationships since then?" she probed. He smiled, self-deprecatingly. "I didn't have a serious relationship then, Zuri. You didn't go to bed with your fiancé. Not in my neighborhood. Wasn't done."
"But since?"
He started to look uncomfortable, but he replied, "I've had a few girlfriends. Nothing serious." He hesitated and went on, "I haven't met anybody I could get serious about." Zuri nodded understandingly.
"Same here.
Men seem to get scared of a woman who has an IQ higher than theirs." His smile came back. "So what's your IQ?"
142, she answered immediately. "Yours?"
"Not that high."
"How high?"
The smile widened. It was a good smile, she thought. Warm. Jamil said, 138. She leaned back on the thinly padded bench and said,
"Well, that's within the statistical margin of error. We're practically the same level."
"Yeah." She felt herself smiling back at him.
"Do I scare you?"
"You? No. Why should I be scared of you?"
"Because I'm as smart as you are."
"That's good, isn't it?"
"Because I might be your boss."
"Huh?" Zuri hadn't really thought about it until the words popped out of her mouth.
"How'd you like to work in the National Security Advisor's office? With me?"
Jamil's face clearly showed surprise, and a good deal of uncertainty. She continued,
"I mean, the Secretary of State is pissed with you. She's got a mean hatchet, you know. You could use a new job."
He said slowly, "But if there's a change in the White House next November..."
"There won't be. We'll have 5 years together."
"You mean it?" Jamil asked.
"I sure do."
He nodded. "You're certain? I mean, you're not just doing this because..." His voice trailed off.
"I'm not doing it because I feel sorry for you, or because of anything except I think you're damned smart and I need somebody in my office who's as smart as I am."
"Oh, I thought you were doing it because you like me."
"That too," she admitted.
Minutes later, they left the diner. The streets were still wet from the earlier rain. Hardly any traffic. No taxicabs in sight.
"It's after midnight," Jamil muttered,
"and my car's over in Langley."
Zuri Coggins slipped her arm in his. "That's okay. My apartment's within walking distance. You can stay the night at my place."
He nodded thoughtfully, then disengaged his arm and moved around her to be on the curbside of the street.
"A gentleman always walks on the curbside," he said quite seriously.
"Sure," she retorted.
"The muggers always hide in the doorways."
They both laughed and started down the street into the new day. Japan, Misawa Air Base. It was pouring rain as they jumped one by one down the inflated chute that extended from Able One's forward hatch to the puddled concrete of the runway. "This isn't going to be good for my back," Harry thought as he waited behind Monk Delaney and the others of his team. Three of the Air Force crew had already slid down the chute. Wally Rosenberg was next.
"Off I go into the wild blue yonder," Rosenberg wisecracked.
He jumped from the lip of the hatch, hit the chute with his rump, and slid down into the waiting arms of a team of Air Force noncoms. Harry saw a quartet of air police down there in white helmets and sidearms. Waiting for Monk, he figured.
"Will you be okay?"
It was Colonel Christopher, waiting last in line.